Hi, so we're back for another episode. You're joking. Another one? Yes, because this is a weekly show and this is kind of our whole deal. So this week has been wild. So let's celebrate this little hour of time we have together where things are not crazy and terrifying. Let's celebrate that. Today and every day, I met the man I manifested by mistake. I thought him up in my head, just like Sylvia said, and as it was written by the complex calligraphy that is my life, so it was. It was a mysterious maze of mental anguish that soon soothes me when I realize that he's the first time I'm afraid, really afraid to fuck up, because I actually care. And I'm not trying to escape or find something in him. I just like him. I just like him, and so I stay up all night wondering what happens when he's gone. And I have dreams where he is gone, and I'm only soothed by a mundane siege in the back seats of the cinema in my dreams when he stays and he holds my hand, and I can't remember what we see, and I can't remember the faces behind the guns. I just remember the way he holds my hand, pulls me into his chest, and I'm safe. But then I'm awake and my mind is a bitch, because I'm afraid, because he is the first one to be the one for real, or at least I think so. Because everything's different when it's me and him, and I'm pacing through pages of memories, wondering if I had ever spent hours at peace with the peaks and flows, conversation and then silence, wondering if I'd ever wanted to be better, or ever known that I could. Feeling my heart glow as he washes the car, because that's cute now when it's him, and I want to be better now when it's for him. And I want to dream, but I want to be awake so that I can be with him. I am aware that I pronounce wondering at some point in that incorrectly. However, normally I would re-record it again, but I accidentally improvised a bunch of stuff in the middle of that and it was really good, and I knew that I wouldn't remember it. So it's staying in. The mispronunciation stays because the improv was good. So welcome to Notebook Theatre Therapy. You know, as you'll know by now, this is how I deal with all my angst and my anxieties and all my problems. But I mean, you wouldn't think that like being happy is a problem. But like when you're happy and you're not used to that, girl, your horrid, horrid brain will come up with a million different ways as to how it's all going to come crashing down and you're going to be very unhappy again. And mine works harder than most. So I am full of angsty nightmares and the like. And so I kind of decided to write about it and think about it and so on. Because, I mean, that's how I deal with things, so. But I overthink things, and I know everyone does, and I think that's just how people are. But, I don't know. I guess because I'm me, I think it's, like, super unique, and I'm the only one going through this turmoil. Obviously, I'm not, but still. Ships sink and worlds die while I am distracted by the contents of my camera roll. I am convinced that life itself is quite sustainable while I am spoiling myself with the sight of you. Because frankly, I have bigger things to worry about than like everyone dying and everything burning and everyone bombing and everyone yelling because, oh my God, you're so cute. Like, what the fuck? You're so cute. I can't deal with this because you are so cute. I said a while ago that I would just take a few seconds, just a quick look, but oopsie daisy, it became 3 hours and the world is kind of ending somewhere in the background. But I am endlessly happy because I have your eyes to explore as I wait for death. And oh my God, you're so cute. It should be noted that I do actually care about things like climate change and the potential of war and basically all of the fucked up things happening right now. But I mean, sometimes I get a little distracted. I'll admit that I do. And you know what? Honestly, I'm aware that this probably sounds like ultra privileged, but I feel like it's probably good for me that I have such a wild attention span that I could be trying to be serious and focused on shit. And then I'll be like, I just want to stare at a cute guy for like 3 hours. You know what I mean? It's probably for the best because otherwise, fuck knows. Like, I would be a mess. And I'm already a mess most of the time. So, but actually, that didn't come from a time when I should have been focusing on all the awful things happening. I mean, maybe I should have been, but I was actually on the phone and I was just kind of going through all the pictures I have on my phone because I was looking for something else. I was looking for a video that I was trying to upload to my website and I got distracted because I have other things on there and I was like, oh, wow. Look at this. Look at this guy. Wow. Isn't he just everything? Ugh. And for some reason, he's dumb enough to want to go out with me. Wow. Ugh. Love that for me. And so I just fancied writing about it. And so I did. It's kind of like, in parallel to the first thing I read, in the sense that it's just about kind of that, you know,
unrelenting happiness that you feel when you have someone that you love. It kind of reminds me of like romance anime, where there'll be like one episode where the couple are really happy and everything's wonderful and amazing, and there's like the next episode where like there's like really sad scenes and drama, but like it's not real drama because there's nothing really happening and it's not actually that big a deal, but it's like really sad and you think, oh no, what's gonna happen? But obviously you know they're not gonna break up because that would just ruin the story. And then it just kind of continues in that cycle of like lots and lots of happy moments and amazingness and sort of sad moments that aren't really sad unless you're dramatic and over invested. I feel like that's very much how I feel in my real life. I was watching one a while back, and there was literally a whole episode dedicated to the fact that the female love interest had a cold and the male love interest felt really angsty because he wasn't very good at looking after people with colds, and they made it into this really dramatic, like, oh my god, this is like the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone kind of situation. It's very that, you know what I mean? Because I'm very aware that all my angst and my, you know, oh, I'm really upset and shit, all that, it's nothing really. It's, you know, the love interest has a cold episode. That's what it is. And I know that, but, you know, I'm also very dramatic. What can I do? I'm a romance anime. Oh, I love that.
What the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
Well, everyone really needs to stand up and say, okay, no, this is not politics in the normal British way. This is something darker and bleaker, and it's got to stop.
Peace is possible and must be achieved.
We want Scotland to remain inside the EU, and we want the UK to remain inside the EU.
Labour is weak and divided and completely unable to offer any sort of opposition to the Tories.
And I say to all the doubters, we are going to energise the country. We're going to get Brexit done.
But the party that I need is an independent political party.
Well, I'm going to be talking a little bit about this later again, but I just wanted to start off with a quick little moment. So the Labour leadership contest continues. And I mean, I guess some people within Labour have decided that Clive Lewis is definitely a thing that should happen, despite him, as I've said many times, kind of outing himself as a bit of a fucking weirdo. But I guess everyone's ignoring that. And ignoring that they've all said for years that a woman should lead the Labour Party. It should now be a creepy man. Owen Jones, who is sometimes an activist and sometimes a journalist, depending on what it benefits him to be identified as on that particular day, has said, and then swiftly deleted because people pointed out that it made him kind of come across as a prick. Indeed, Labour MPs should nominate Clive Lewis too. He's bursting with ideas, and an all-white leadership slate doesn't reflect the diversity of the working class communities Labour exists to represent. Now, he said this after Lisa Nandy was confirmed to be going ahead. She's got enough nominations, she's ready to go. Lisa Nandy is not white. Lisa Nandy is mixed race. Lisa Nandy's dad is quite famous as well in his own right, and is visibly not white either. Owen Jones is not a stranger to Lisa Nandy. As a lot of people pointed out, he's interviewed her quite a few times over the years. you know, it's not a secret that she is not white and that she is mixed race. But Owen Jones decided to ignore that so that he could try and encourage people to vote for Clive Lewis because, well, I don't know. Because I guess Owen Jones thinks he gets to be the boss of who gets to be mixed race and who doesn't. Which is very on brand for Owen Jones, really, isn't it? It just seems like the kind of thing he would do. It shouldn't need to be said that it's not up to him to define that. He hasn't really said anything about it or like made an attempt to clarify what he meant. I'm going to check his Twitter now to see if there is anything that he has said in the last few hours. And I'm not really seeing anything, I'm not going to lie. He said, this little snarky tweet, "I'm aware of who all the BAME candidates are, thanks." And I said both leadership and deputy contests. Well, Clive Lewis is only running for leader. And so is Lisa Nandy. So what did you mean, Owen? Why did you say it was an all-white slate if you knew full well that Lisa Nandy is a minority and that she is running? Like, what is the truth, hon? Like, just admit that you got caught out. Jesus Christ. Anyway, he hasn't really apologised, is the point here. And he's still throwing his weight behind Clive Lewis, who is a fucking weirdo. So, fine, Owen, do what you want. That's not a great look for him and for the people that have also taken this message and run with it. I don't think that it's appropriate either to act like people should get behind Clive Lewis just because he happens to be an ethnic minority. There are quite obvious problems with Clive Lewis as a candidate. And also the lack of support he's got already shows he's probably not likely to win. So, you know, there are plenty of minorities in the Labour Party that could have had that support but haven't had it from people like Owen Jones and others. So I, like, what, people are supposed to vote for Clive Lewis just because of his race? Like, really, girl? Really? Okay. No, just as a thought, no. I don't feel that that's appropriate personally, and it makes me quite uncomfortable that it is mainly, you know, white people pushing this as a message, because it very much feels like they feel that minorities within this discussion can't speak for themselves and make their own choices. We don't need to be told, you know, this is the minority you should support. I don't get a vote in this anyway. I'm just looking and I'm interested and figuring out what's going on, but I'm not a member of Labour, so I don't get a vote. But my point is, you know, if I was, I don't need Owen Jones to tell me which minorities are good and which aren't. I don't need him to tell me which minority I should support. It's like, just fuck off, Owen. That's an evergreen statement because he's constantly being a prick. Anyway, speaking of people who are constantly being pricks, Barry Gardner, briefly, in a bit of a meme, said he was running. He was, for some reason, he was overseas in the UAE, I believe. And he just randomly announced he was standing. And everyone was like, what? What the fuck? Barry? Banter Barry? for cereal Barry Gardner? And then sort of by the next day, he announced he wouldn't be anymore because, well, nobody was really into it apart from him and, like, Len McCluskey. So that's not happening. But it was fun while it lasted. Thank you, Barry, for that brief moment of whatever that was. So there's been developments in terms of people getting enough nominations to go through. As I said, Lisa Nandy is through, Rebecca Long Bailey is through, Jess Phillips is through, and Keir Starmer is through for leader. And in terms of deputy leader, Ian Murray and Angela Rayner are through. I don't know if Richard Burgin is or not, but what I do know is he was begging for nominations on Twitter, which was a bit cringe. I am now just four short of the 22 MP nominations needed to be on the ballot for deputy leader. If I get to 22, I will stop seeking nominations and ask any MP considering backing me to nominate another candidate so that Labour members get the widest possible selection in this election. That feels very much like, you know how Justin Bieber is currently begging on social media for people to stream his new song so that he can get a new number one, but the song is shit? It's very that. It's like, well, you know what? If you were actually a good candidate, you wouldn't need to be begging for nominations on Twitter. People would nominate you because you're good. We could maybe at Clive Lewis in that as well. But anyway, so that is still going on, I guess. Ian Lavery is not running now. He's decided he's not going to do it. Which is probably for the best. Stormont's back. Complete change of subject there. But in Northern Ireland, they've reached a deal. The devolved parliament in Northern Ireland will be back. Bitches, we're coming back. So that's really good news. It is unfortunate that it has taken pretty much 3 years for this to happen. But it is great news for people in Northern Ireland, and I am very happy for them. Hopefully this will, you know, this will go well and there will not be any further disruptions. But the deal has been done. It's been agreed. Power sharing is back. We love cooperation. We stan. I don't know if this directly relates to politics, but I thought I would just briefly talk about it. Harry and Meghan are like, fuck this shit, I'm out. RE, the royal family. They've decided to step back as senior members of the royal family. Fair fucking play, really. I don't particularly care about the royal family in a major way. They were actually the only ones I really liked. But I get it because, you know, Meghan and even their infant son have had quite a lot of racial abuse and poor treatment from the public and the media. And to be quite frank, outside of Harry, nobody in the royal family really fucking stepped up to defend her. How are you going to call it a family if you don't defend each other? I don't get it. But I understand. I get it. Do what you need to do. There are some people literally losing their minds and acting like it's the worst thing that's ever happened ever. And I'm like, there are people like freezing to death on the streets outside of Buckingham Palace. Like, fucking chill. The royal family will be fine. You know, and I didn't see all you people getting so upset when it turned out that Prince Andrew may or may not be, allegedly, because I don't want to get sued or murdered, a sex offender. and at the very least was friends with a sex offender. But, you know, okay, sure, this is what you choose to get mad about, whatever. It doesn't really affect my life. I don't care. I quite liked having a very visible princess that had a similar skin tone to me. That was nice. I loved to see it. But, you know, I can survive. I'm okay. I'll get by. But yeah, that happened. I don't think it directly relates to this, but I don't really know where else to put it. Northern Rail. We talked about that last week a little bit. Things have continued. Basically, Northern Rail is not financially sustainable. I don't really know how, considering how much money they bleed out of, you know, the customers, but there we are. Where the fuck that money has gone, I don't know. The government has tried essentially to blame people like Andy Burnham, who's the mayor of Manchester, and people like that, and said, you know, they should have contacted us if things were really bad. But then Andy Burnham, as well as several journalists in the North who've been covering this, came out with the receipts to prove that actually they had been getting in touch with the government and the government had done fuck all. So that was quite satisfying to watch. But it is quite confusing that the government feels they can just lie and they don't seem to be worried about it. That's a bit dodgy. But hopefully there will be a good resolution for people in the North in terms of transport, because frankly, they've fucking suffered enough. So Ben Bradshaw, who is the Labour MP for Exeter in England, has said something this week that has people shook and confused and not really knowing how to react. I have been a Ben Bradshaw stan for a while. He is kind of my problematic fave because he voted for Iraq, but, you know. Anyways, he said, the political class in England, and this includes my own party, must very quickly recognise the Scots' rights to self-determination. Shook. We stan a skinny legend that recognises the human right of self-determination. Yes, King. But this, you know, this is a surprise because, you know, a lot of voices from the Labour Party are very dismissive of this entire situation. Pretty much everybody is sort of running straight in with, absolutely not, we won't even let them have a vote on it. No way, no way. The union is concrete. They have to stay with us, you know? But he was just like, nah, they have a right to make a decision. They have a right to say what they think. We can't stop them. It's kind of sad that that is a huge deal. But it is what it is. And I have a lot of respect for him for openly saying that, because I know that he is leaving himself open to lots of abuse on social media, to people being hostile to him. I think it is very cool that he was willing to stick to what he believes and come out and say that. I think that's pretty rad. I also think he's right. As far as I'm concerned, and this doesn't just apply in terms of the UK as a situation, I very much believe everybody should have a right to self-determination. I firmly believe it's a human right. I think it is something that should be available to everybody. I don't think anybody should have a situation forced on them where they are forced to identify in a certain way, or they are forced to be tethered to a certain identity or community. I think everybody should have a right to self-determination, you know. And I think it's very refreshing to see that said openly by, you know, one of the prominent members of the Labour Party in England. I think that that means something, and that's good. So shout out to Ben Bradshaw for yet again being iconic. What else happened? Oh, Rory Stewart's still running for London Mayor. He's still doing that. I honestly, I don't think he's going to win. I think Sadiq Khan will probably take it again. And I'm fine with that, because I think Sadiq Khan is doing a pretty good job, considering. I think a lot of people, you know, are not honest with themselves about the reality of, you know, the kind of limits that a mayor has. For example, I see Sadiq Khan criticised for a lot of things that Andy Burnham, who is, of course, the mayor of Manchester, is not really criticised for. And I can't quite imagine why. I'm sure it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that Sadiq Khan is a Muslim and Andy Burnham is a white guy from Liverpool. I'm sure it's not anything to do with that. At all. Actually, do you know what I see a lot? I see a lot of people deluding themselves that, like, you know, oh, Sadiq Khan, he's not even from here. Yes, he fucking is, bro. Yes, he fucking is. Like, deal with it. Deal with it. He's our tiny mayor and you will stan. Like, fuck these bitches. Anyways, so the mayoral thing's happening. I don't see Sean Bailey doing well. He's the Conservative candidate. I don't see it for him, to be quite honest. I think Sadiq Khan's probably gonna win it again. I don't think Rory Stewart's gonna get that many votes or that much support. But I mean, I guess Rory Stewart can afford to just throw himself into this, and I mean, good for him, I guess. So the government, Jesus Christ, the government has announced Town of the Year competition from the Community Secretary. Towns across the north will be able to compete in the new Town of the Year competition. And I just think that's fucking patronising and shit, really. They shouldn't have to do this, you know? They shouldn't be having to ask for help and support from the government by competing in some fucking beauty pageant of clownery. Like, just fucking regenerate towns. It's what you're there for. You're the fucking government. You shouldn't need people to compete for the help that you are supposed to give them. Just fucking give it to them. Jesus Christ. They also oh Jesus, they sort of launched it in a city. So that was expected, really. I'm not even going to lie. It's really just peak government. It was launched in Wolverhampton, which has been a city for quite a while. Kelsa praise, really. Kelsa fucking praise. What else has gone on? Sorry, I'm just in one of the funniest fucking tweets from an MP this week. Carolyn Harris, who is a Welsh Labour MP, tweeted this week, "Philip Davis considers me to be metropolitan privileged. What a clown." Oh, We stan. I love that. Anyways, what else has been going on? What else is the tea? Oh, yeah, the government voted to essentially continue to abandon the promises previously made to refugee children for the right to family reunion. I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. The withdrawal bill passed unamended, so provisions to help refugee children and to give them the right to family reunion are not in it. I'm not surprised. That's all I can say. It is exactly what I would expect from Boris Johnson's government. It really is. You know, they sit there and they call out for unity, but then they say, oh, you know, we're going to abandon these refugee children that you all seem quite into the idea of helping. We're going to abandon them. And there's nothing you can do about it because I've got a fucking majority. I mean, I'm not surprised. It's gross and it's horrible and it makes me angry that we do not currently have any real ability to do anything beyond being upset about it. I mean, they are the most vulnerable of kids, really. Kids who are running away from war, desperate to get back to their families. Like, who the fuck? Like, what goes wrong in someone's life that they think, oh, you know, yeah, we should abandon those kids for sure. Like, that's fucking hell. I mean, Jesus. Anyway, this is actually, I should have talked about this when I talked about the Labour kerfuffle, but I'll go over it anyway. There was an article in the Telegraph from Alison Pearson, who is basically Katie Hopkins for people who think they're too good to be fans of Katie Hopkins, in which she described Rebecca Long Bailey, who's one of the leadership candidates, as the shadow business secretary who looks like the love child of a Roswell alien and Mrs. Merton. I don't know who this other woman is, but basically the point she was trying to make is she was basically picking on the way Rebecca Long Bailey looks and saying that she's ugly and stuff. This is the same Alison Pearson who lied about, there was a news story just before Christmas about a boy who had ended up being stuck on the floor at an A&E because he was, I think, waiting treatment, and he'd had to basically sleep on the floor because there was no beds and no trolleys available. And Alison Pearson was a huge part of spreading this conspiracy that the family were lying and it wasn't true. So, you know, the fact that she still has a job in journalism is quite surprising to me, but there we are. And yeah, so she's decided to throw a bunch of personal attacks about Rebecca Long Bailey's appearance out there. I mean, and people wonder why women don't want to get involved in politics. This is why. You know, for the record, not that it matters because it has no bearing on the work that she does, but I personally don't think there's anything wrong with the way Rebecca Long Bailey looks. But, you know, women and girls who see that and they see that, you know, the second a woman stands up and says, you know, okay, maybe I want to take a bigger role here, maybe I want to be a leader, the first thing that's going to happen to you is people are going to tear apart your appearance. Like, there we are. Like, there's the mystery solved. That's why a lot of women do not look at this as a serious thing. It, you know, she's not the first woman it's happened to either. Pretty much every woman who has ever gone near the idea of political power has had something like this happen multiple times. If you look at female leaders, Nicola Sturgeon, there are constant fucking, you know, newspaper articles that are constantly calling her ugly and picking apart her appearance, you know, so many different memes that are all based on tearing apart the way she looks and shit like that. Constantly jokes on TV shows about how she looks and how she dresses and her personal life and all these things that you never see said about men, by the way. The same happened to Theresa May. The same happened to pretty much every female candidate in every leadership contest ever, regardless of party, political affiliation. Every time a woman attempts to get close to power, this happens. And you know what? I'm just gonna fucking say it. It's real fucking sad seeing women join in on this. And I mean, I get it. Not every woman is gonna want to be a feminist. And, you know, feminism is not about blindly praising every woman. But if you are part of the constant dehumanization and attacks on women, and you are part of maintaining that negative environment that keeps women from reaching forward and trying to succeed, then maybe you're a cunt. Like, you know what? I hope he sees this, sis. Like, it's always them, I'm not like the other girls, I'm special kind of girls. It's like, fuck off, love. You want to know the truth? You step out of line, they will treat you like they treat the other girls. It's just right now you're too deluded to see it. Like, Alison Pearson, Sarah Vine, who remembers Samantha Brick? Yeah, her too. All of these girls, you will eventually be treated like the other girls. Katie Hopkins too. All these people. You might sit there attacking women because it gets you opportunities and it gets you a bunch of men in your mentions giving you compliments and saying nice things about you. But you want to know the truth? You step out of line just once, you say something they don't like just once, you will find out what it's like to be the other girl. Whether you want to or not, you will discover it. Because they will turn on you. Because they don't respect you. The kind of person who takes any enjoyment or any happiness out of reading that kind of shit, and out of dehumanizing people like that, the kind of person that would sit there and laugh at something like that about Rebecca Long Bailey does not respect you. They may temporarily pretend like they do while you're writing that shit, but the second you move on or the second you say something that they don't like, that mask will slip off. And I feel bad for you that you've deluded yourself that it won't.
Are you looking for a platform where you can have your voice heard? Find your home and find your voice on Rumble, the brand new video platform where you can share your thoughts, express your passions, and find like-minded people and creators. Download Rumble from the App Store or visit rumble.me to find out more.
Luxury, luxury, luxury.
So, I've been on the Twitter again. I know. And I saw this thread of people getting outraged that the Labour Party allows people to self-identify as ethnic minorities or BAME. And there was a bunch of people getting angry and coming up with all these hypothetical things of, oh, it's just going to be white people defining themselves as black and, you know, that Rachel woman and all this outrage. And what a lot of people seem to not be understanding is that the reason self-identification for things like that exists is for people whose identities may be complicated or not immediately identifiable. For example, mixed race people or people who may not have, you know, immediate sort of recognition of who they are, you know. For example, one of the leadership candidates in Labour, Lisa Nandy, is mixed race. And all week, people have been basically ignoring that, even though she has spoken about it multiple times, even though her dad is like actually quite famous in his own right, and is quite prominent, and it's not a secret that they're related. And he is definitely not a white person. And, you know, it's not a secret, it's not hidden away, but everyone, because she has a lighter skin tone than some mixed race people, I mean, when I look at her, I can see she's mixed race, but maybe that's because I am too. But my point is, because she's not immediately identifiable because she has a lighter skin tone than some mixed race people, people basically ignored that she was mixed race and tried to pretend that she was, you know, just another white candidate so that they could push this narrative behind one of the other candidates, Clive Lewis, and say that everyone should vote for him because everyone else in the race is, you know, a white person. And so he should receive their votes because of that. And of course, that's not the case because Lisa Nandy is not a white person, right? But people were openly ignoring that. And that's why shit like being able to self-identify yourself and to be able to say, this is my race, this is who I am, is important. Because if we don't have that, people will just make assumptions and take that decision away from us, as we have seen, right? And, you know, it's not always easy to define your race. Especially when you're mixed race, it can be very complicated. And so, you know, it matters that we should be able to say, this is how I feel on it. You know, there are some mixed race people who don't choose to identify themselves as minorities, and that's their choice. And there are some people that do. But that choice should be ours to make. It should not be taken away from us because some people have this wild theory that it's going to be completely abused by white people who want to self-define as, like, black, like that Rachel, I can never pronounce her name, DeLozelle, that woman from America who pretended to be mixed race for several years and it turned out she wasn't. You know, thanks, love, you've made it harder for a lot of actual mixed race people. But anyway, the point is, cases like that are very fucking rare. It really does not happen to the extent that people think it does. So taking away our ability to define our race and to define our identity because you think that this is going to happen is absurd. You know, and what do you replace it with? Am I expected to bring in both of my parents to prove that I'm mixed race? Well, I can't, because only one of them is currently available to me. Am I supposed to have invasive DNA testing to prove to you that I am the race I say I am? Fuck off. I'm not doing that. I've never had a DNA test, but I imagine it involves needles, and I'm not doing that. Do you know what I mean? These absurd standards would be the only other way to do it. Forcing people to have DNA tests, forcing people to bring in family records, family members. It's invasive. It's a removal of dignity. To put that burden on people who don't always have an easy time identifying or you know, proving to other people their identity, it's laughable as a concept. It's stupid, really. And it's, to me, it says a lot about the way some people think that is their idea of what we should do. It really says, you know, we're not considering what this system is actually for. We're not considering what happens to the people that this system is for if we take it away from them. We do not care all that much about the provisions for people whose identities may be complicated. And we, you know, we don't care, basically. We just want to get angry at the idea of self-identification, even though we haven't bothered to look at what it's actually for. Because, I mean, how many people do you actually think get away with identifying as a race they aren't actually part of? Like, how often do you think that happens? Because I can tell you, the reason that Rachel thing was such a big deal was because it doesn't happen very fucking often. It does not get to that point very fucking often, right? So that's why Rachel What's-Her-Face was such a big kerfuffle and everyone was talking about it for years, because it was the first time in a long time that anything had reached that point. You know, so why should every other person whose identity may be a bit complicated have to suffer because one person, not even in the UK, might I add, decided to fuck about and abuse the system? One person. And like I said, how often do you think this fucking happens in the UK under this system? How often do you think it's abused? Not very much. But that doesn't matter to them because they don't care. They just want to yell and be like, oh, it's wokeness gone mad. You can self-identify as a minority now. And they don't care that actually that's not how it works. And actually that's not what it's for. Because they just want to get angry about shit and yell about the woke loony left or whatever. And they don't care that by taking away something like that, it makes it a lot harder for quite a lot of minorities that they are proposing that they care about. Because they're saying, oh, you know, it's not fair on actual minorities. People are going to abuse this system. But they don't actually care about us. They just want to get angry, you know. Taking it away makes it harder for us. And that's what we're trying to say, but none of them want to hear that, you know, because I've seen every time this comes up, every single time without fail, I have seen multiple minorities, including a lot of mixed people like myself, saying to people, this system is for us. If you take it away, it makes it harder for us to prove our identity. You know, it becomes invasive. It becomes difficult. This system is for us. Please don't encourage people to get rid of it. It's for us. It's very rarely abused. But they don't want to hear it because they're not interested in having a discussion about this. They're not interested in a debate about this. They just want to yell about, you know, whatever thing on the left they found that pisses them off this time. And it's laughable, really. Or at least it would be if it didn't affect my life, but... but yeah, I mean, all I would say is before you get angry at systems like this, maybe talk to the people that they're for and find out why they exist before you decide that they should be cancelled, even though it doesn't really affect your life. Because most of the people complaining about these systems, it doesn't affect them at all. It has nothing to do with them. They will never use it. They're just getting angry for the sake of it. And it's like, you know what, hon? Minding your business is free of charge. My heart belongs in my hopeful chest and to a myriad of mistakes that I simply adore making. My wardrobe is full of what home won't import, and I'm so important until life ignores the do not disturb sign, and then I am away somewhere tucked in the back of his mind, or in the shower where she can't see him and he surrenders to me, falling down onto his knees and whispering my name as if it is a curse, but a blessing that he rains onto the tiles. I am a banquet to a beast who is starved and secretive, my dishonest darling until his conscience catches up, and then he is home, and I am, well, alone. My diamond daddy is my best friend, until I am forced to the pawn shop by romantic poverty. I always loved the glamour of that, and I'm really not sure why I've never read it on this podcast before, because it's one of my favourite things that I've ever written, but I've never performed it live either, and I don't know why. I get distracted. But anyways, I just ad-libbed a bunch of shit in there. I don't know what it is with me today. I'm really into ad-libbing. Like, what is that? What am I doing? But anyway, I feel like it added something, so that was fun. I like looking back on some of my older work. It's interesting to, you know, see the different influences I had and the different things in my life, and even down to linguistically, you know, the way that certain things I say and things like that are associated with like different time periods and different people. It's kind of like I'm building like a never-ending time capsule, but of things that really only make sense to me, because there are all these different parts of who I am and who I've been and all the places and people that I have explored, created, and destroyed. I kind of like that.
Pre-order the new album, Poetry Collection, Deus Ex Machina, by Jennifer Wilde.
That's all for this week, but I'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, you can find more of my work on my website, jenniferwan.com, or on social media with the username Miss J Squared on Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, YouTube, all the places, Reddit, you know, all of those lovely websites where I have an account. I'm going to be performing live. There's some new live dates on the website. You can check those out. I'll be doing some dates this month and next month, so you can come and experience basically this, but like in person. And I have a cute new dress I'm going to wear for one of them, which I feel like makes me look like a sailor. So that'll be fun. It is very cute. Anyways, Jesus, this is why I need a co-host or like a producer. I don't know. Anyways, thank you to everyone who supports the show. Especially my top tier patron supporters. I'm choosing to call it patron. I don't care what other people pronounce it as. That is what it is to me. Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, Eleanor, Alicia, Emily, Andy, and Tyler. Thank you very much. If you want to support the show and other projects that I do, you can on Patreon from as little as $1 a month, and you get lots of exclusive content, early content, and free merch and stuff. You can also support with one-off donations at PayPal and Ko-fi, and the links for all that are in the description below. If you feel like you want to review the show or rate it, that would be really cute, and I would love that. There is a weird noise somewhere. Oh my god. It's fine. Thank you very much for listening, though, and I love you muchly. Good night, my love.